be in the church. But it is important for us to also spread the truth wherever we go. If it is that we are traveling to the other side of the island, then we need to be taking Jesus Christ with us. If it is that we have to sail, as it was when they went to Cyprus. As I always say, well, we're not doing any sailing, you know, cruise thing not happening now. This is Corona time. Yeah. But wherever we go, we need to take the gospel with us. Why? We are on a mission with Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, it continues, verse 6, pick up there for me.
And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos.
So they went to an island, Paphos.
They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet.
All right, you can stop there. What is the point? As Christians in the church, as we go, we need to take the gospel with us because we are on a mission for Jesus Christ. You know, but verse 2 also tells us something that I don't want us to miss as we set the foundation for the lesson and as we encourage one another to evangelism. It says in verse 2,
As they ministered to the Lord. And fasted.
The Holy Ghost said.
Separate me, Barnabas. And Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
For the work. And so, Christians, we have been called to work. Because we are Christians, we are to work. So don't see ourselves as part of the family of God to just come and sit. Let us not just see ourselves as Christians to come and just warm the bench, to wear a title, Christian, to say I'm a saint, I'm a follower of Christ. Because in all of these, we are actually declaring that we are workers for him. So what does it say? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands, separate me, Barnabas and Saul.
For the work I have called them.
Whereunto I have called them. We have been called to work. So we are making our resolutions. We are fixing our minds on what 2021 will be. And I'm encouraging us to be evangelistic in our entry into 2021. Amen. Let us, as we make our resolution, think, how can I truly embrace that call to work? Truly, how can I be on this mission for Jesus Christ? Let me hasten to say that when we take on this work, it does not mean that everything will just go smoothly. You know, we see in verse 6 that as these Christians, just like you and me, as they embarked on the ministry with Christ, that they did not have it smooth sailing. Read verse 6 for me again.
And when they had gone through the island. Unto Paphos.
Yes.
They found a certain sorcerer. A false prophet.
This sorcerer was a false prophet.
A Jew.
He was a Jew.
Whose name was Bar Jesus.
You see all the false teaching can even have a religious thing. You know, of all the names him have. Bar Jesus, you know, and what we are to recognize is that as we seek to tell others what we are enjoying, as we seek to encourage others to take on Christianity as we have, then we will meet upon persons who are sorcerers, who are, you know, they work magic where religion is concerned. you know, take up witchcraft and obia. But beyond even the obia man type of setting, we have persons who we will recognize are false prophets. You know, one of the meanings of a sorcerer is wise. You can imagine. You know, they were deemed wise. And I'm going to say something about that later, but we need to sometimes be careful who we hold up as wise. You know, our young people, as you go into tertiary studies, there will be persons who will deem themselves to be philosophers. And they have philosophized themselves so much that they philosophize that there is no God. They reason things out in such a way and give this impression that they understand it all. You know, but God has a way of confounding and shattering those who seem to be wise. You know, not only is it that this man was, you know, in verse 8 it says that the same sorcerer, and if we're not careful, we might think that it's two sorcerers, one bar Jesus and one Elymas. But it's the same person. And in verse 8 it says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, he withstood them. And the point is that as we seek to evangelize, as we seek to tell our co-workers, as we make an effort to convert our family members, our friends, our associates, we have to recognize that sometimes people will withstand us, seeking to turn things topsy-turvy, to twist things around. So we have to make sure that as we embark on this resolution, this plan for 2021, that we don't do it like how we do the exercise program. Yeah, or the exercise program. Every new year, you know, some persons who won't raise their hand, will make a I'm going to start exercising well. You know, and you start, you know. And sometimes you start boasting to, you know, you walk far, you know. And then you mash up and, because when the negative effects start, you stop. What I want us to recognize is that as we seek to evangelize, to be soul workers for Christ, a part of his ministry, then it is important that we recognize that some paying up will go on for Christ. But we still persevere. So we don't give up because we have a little ache and pain. And sometimes we have to start slow and build up. And so there are negative things that will confront us when we seek to evangelize for Jesus Christ. I'm still in my background. But let me tell you, you know, read verse 7 for me. I think we had jumped verse 7.
Which was the deputy of the country.
So let us not forget where we are. So here it is that as they went out, that they came upon this bar Jesus, this sorcerer, this wise, this false prophet. But as they journeyed, and as we seek to evangelize, we will come across persons of a different color. And verse 7 says, which was?
With the deputy of the country.
So this same false prophet, he had an association with this deputy of the country. Read.
Sergius Paulus.
Yes, that was his name.
A prudent man.
He was a prudent man.
Who called for Barnabas and Saul.
He called There are persons, brethren, who will want to know the truth. And guess what they'll do? They will call for you. And they'll call for me. So let us not be discouraged by the negative that we will come across. Because there will be persons who will be yearning for us to come and tell them about this ministry, this mission that we are on for Jesus Christ. And why did this prudent man, why did this man seek Paul and Barnabas? Read. And desired to hear the word of God. They desired to hear the word of God. So for every person who will distract us and make everything so negative, there are going to be others who want to hear the word of God. So this is motivation, brethren, for us to join in the ministry of Christ, the mission of Christ, for the work of Christ, because there are many there wanting to hear the word of God. You know, to our friends who are hearing our voice and sitting and listening, that you are here today, I believe, is a demonstration that you want to hear the word of God. Let us not miss what inspiration said of this man who wanted to hear the word of God. Sergius Paulus was a prudent man. Why? Because he wanted to hear the word of God. So when we desire to hear the word of God, then God is saying through his inspiration that you are prudent. You are wise. You are intelligent. Because to desire the word of God is a good thing. And so there are persons in our circles who want to know the word of God. You know, we said earlier that as the church and those in the mission moved, we saw that they moved from place to place. You know, they were going to the islands and they had to sail. You know, I figure that they had to walk some part of the journey. I figure that they would have to take the donkey and to move to other parts of their journey. In fact, this whole area is referred to as the first missionary journey. For us, we go different places in our sphere of life. At that time, there was no aeroplane. But however they went, they took the gospel with them. We are in an era where we can take the gospel in very effective ways. We can take the gospel not only face to face, but we can take the gospel in cyberspace. Yes, we can, through social media, we can share the gospel. Here is a resource that the church right here in this location has. Brother Mary right now is ensuring that the message is being recorded. A few months ago, years ago, we would make an appeal and say, you know, at the end, you know, you can get a copy on CD and we run it off. Now, with the pervasiveness of the internet, and so many of us having smartphones, and we We can't go anywhere now and people don't offer us free Wi-Fi. What is happening? You don't need a CD, a DVD. You just need your smartphone and some Wi-Fi. And you click a link. And you can listen again the message. You can share that link with a friend. And say, you know, I was in worship. And the brother said something that I think is important. And you can say, him preach a little long, you know. But between minute 15 and minute 30, he said something that I believe, if you listen to that segment, it will be of profound encouragement and knowledge to you. Listen it now. And so what are we doing? We are now sharing the gospel. And then you can now start saying, you know, we can discuss that segment of it if you have any question about it. All of that is evangelism. Is that a part of what Jesus would have said to us when he said, go ye therefore? Yes. As we go socially. So we might have to be physically distancing. So as we evangelize, we might not be able to sit. Our people might not invite us so readily to come on their veranda and sit with them. But there are other avenues that we can utilize. So even in the midst of a COVID, it is not a period to relinquish our evangelistic responsibility. So, let us be wise. Let us be prudent. Let us also be conscious, brethren, that even though persons may be yearning for the word, that there is noise. Noise? What are you talking about, Brother Webb? Well, pick up again from verse 7 and go down to verse 8. So here we saw Sergius Paulus, prudent man. He desired to hear the word of God. Read on.
Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus.
Yes.
Prudent man. Who called for Barnabas and Saul.
He called for Christians like you and me. Because he had a desire. A desire for?
To hear the word of God.
The word of God. But.
But. Elimus,
but. But. So even brethren, while there are persons who will want to hear the word of God, there are influences around them. Not that they don't want to hear the word of God, but they have persons around them like Elimas, who will withstand us as we strive to teach others. How many times, brethren, have we sat and taught someone, shared with them the plan of salvation, and they said, just a minute, let me go and talk to my pastor. Let me go and talk to my mother. When the scripture would have plainly taught that in order for us to be saved, we need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be immersed in water, and be saved. But then we go consulting with those who we deem to be wise. So sometimes, brethren, we have to be conscious of persons' background, because things will cause them not to come as readily as they should. But let that not be a discouragement to us. Let us still persist. You know, Paul didn't say, well, you know, because they have their influence and background, let me just leave it there and just back off. No, that wasn't their approach. And so that ought not to be ours either. You know, I have just touched on my introduction. Because really what we are talking about today is that we do not want to pervert the right. Perverting the right ways of the Lord is not where we want to be. And see, all of what I was saying was leading up to what Paul would have said in that respect. All right, read on for me, verse 9 and 10.
Then Saul,
who is also called Paul. So he is a part of the mission for Christ, like us, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Set his eyes on him.
So brethren, when we are confronted, when persons withstand us, and they will, it is not for us to shy away. Paul set his eyes on him. He confronted him. And he said in verse 10,
Oh, full of all subtlety.
And all mischief.
Thou child of the devil. Thou enemy of all righteous. Wilt thou not cease to pervert?
To pervert the right ways of the Lord. And so I've just reached the title of my lesson. After how long? Almost half an hour. So here we see that this journey, when we are on the mission for Jesus Christ, is often flawed with persons who would seek to pervert the right ways of the Lord. But let us never back down. Let us never back down. But can we explore a little the implication of perverting the right way? Because, you know, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7 also spoke about this type of perversion. This change that would often happen to the gospel because of persons twisting things. And it says in Galatians 1 and verse 7.
Which is not another.
Okay, so, you know, Paul was saying, I'm so surprised that you have gone to another gospel. But it's really not another gospel. Read.
But there be some that trouble you.
But it's really that some persons are going to trouble you.
And would pervert the gospel.
So what is the point? A perversion of the gospel, a perversion of the right way of God, is something that we are likely to come upon when we seek to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what do we mean when we talk about to pervert? Well, to pervert among the ideas is that it is to turn away, to twist, to distort, to transform into the opposite. And that is why the writer of Galatians, Paul, would have said that it is really not another. Because whenever you distort and you twist and you turn away the gospel. It's no longer the gospel. And so sometimes, brethren, we find ourselves in a situation where we are trying to teach our friends, our associates, our family members, and they would put in our minds some perversion of the truth. And what do? We give the impression, oh, so that's your view and my view. And so we sort of part company, sort of leaving. Oh, that's your view and this is my view and we are all trying to serve God. But that ought not to be the thinking and our psyche as we seek to evangelize. Because we need to recognize that when a person twists the gospel, when a person distorts the gospel, when a person transforms and turns away the right way of the Lord, then it is not something that God smiles at. And so we too ought not to just accept this as it is. You know, this concept of transforming into the opposite, you know, we see it as well, you know, the same terminologies, we see it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, James chapter 4 and verse 9, you know, where the opposite happens is a transformation. It's the same type of perverting that we see taking place. Acts chapter 2 and verse 20.
The sun shall be turned into darkness.
The sun shall be what?
Turned into darkness.
Shall be turned into darkness. That's the same concept of perverting. The same, to turn opposite. How we know that the sun bright and shines. But when the sun turns into darkness, that's a contrast that we are seeing there. You know, in James chapter 4 and verse 9, we see again the same concept of that twisting, that turning inside out, so to speak. And it says in James chapter 4 and verse 9,
be afflicted and mourn and weep. Mm-hmm. Let your laughter be turned to mourning.
Let your laughter
be turned to mourning.
Be turned to mourning. You see it? Let your laughter be turned to mourning. So that's the idea of turning opposite, inside out. And so we should recognize that persons would seek to do that in respect to the gospel. But how does God view this? Is God just okay with this? Should we be okay with this? Because Paul, back in Acts chapter 13, confronted Elymas, and he used some rough terms with him. You know, he said, wilt thou not cease, in verse 10, to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You know, sometimes, and in the context of what we are looking at, we might say, well, this is because you're dealing with a sorcerer, an Obeyaman, you know, who's definitely working with the devil. Then we might feel that this is only when you're outrightly serving Satan, or when you're practicing witchcraft, Obeya working, or when a person outrightly says, I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic, somebody who just don't believe in any God. You know, we might be inclined to think that it is only when we are at these extremes that we are perverting the gospel, or we are perverting the right ways of the Lord. But it's not only when we worship Satan openly, pitch a tent and build a building and say, this is the church of Satan. And if we're not doing that, we don't think that person is perverting. But we can be perverting the gospel whenever we withstand the truth of the gospel. Can we look quickly again at the words of Paul, which would be demonstrating God's view of those who would seek to pervert the right ways of God. In verse 10, it says,
"O fool,"
and he said,
"And said, O fool,
O fool
of our subtlety,
of deceit and trickery."
And
that's what that is all about, you know. So when a person confronts us and would seek to twist and turn and transform the gospel into something else and the right ways to something else, then in the view of God, this person is a trickify person. Is a person who is deceitful. Not only that, not only full of all mischief and subtlety,
though a child of the devil,
but you are a child of the devil. Really? Just because I'm going to go against what the gospel says? Once we go in the opposition of the gospel, the right ways of God, then God is seeing us as a devil's child. One full of mischief, one full of deceit. Did it stop there?
Finish cussing him off? The enemy of all righteousness.
What? Enemy? You are the enemy of everything that is righteous, says Paul. It's serious cussing, isn't it? Somebody reading this must be saying, well, this must be some serious evil worker. This must be an atheist that Paul is talking about. But read on.
Will thou not stop
perverting the right ways of the Lord? What's the point I'm making? The point is, brethren, whenever we do not embrace, hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are perverting the gospel, and God does not view us in a positive light. He sees us as deceitful, full of mischief and trickery, sees us as the devil's child, sees us as enemy. That's not a state that we want to be. And so as we evangelize, this is one of the principles that we must always leave with persons. It is not about how we feel, but how does God view you? And whenever we would seek to go outside of the gospel, outside of the right ways of the Lord, then this is how God will view us. And we need to put that in focus. Always. Because oftentimes we give the impression that it's just okay. You know, we don't see things the same way and it's just quite fine. You know, I'll still see you as a Christian. I will still see you as part of the ministry and the mission of Christ. But no, God does not view it that way, and neither should we. And Elymas saw that firsthand. You know, let's jump down to verse 11. And now,
behold,
yes, read.
The hand of the Lord
The hand of the Lord is upon thee.
And thou shalt be
but
bound.
But wait. The hand of the Lord is upon thee. And so I say, wow, you know, the Lord's hand is upon me. That's a good thing. No, that's not in a good way. It literally, the hand of God is against us. That's the consequence of perverting the gospel of Christ, of perverting the way of right. That the hand of God will be against us. What are we talking about? Consequences. There are consequences to not holding the right way of the Lord. There's consequence to pervert the right way of God. You know, this is not inconsistent with what we would have seen throughout the gospel. You know, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5, again the Apostle Paul speaking to the Galatians, and he says in verse 5 of Galatians chapter 2.
To whom we gave place by
to
subjection.
To whom we gave
place by subjection.
Yes.
No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue.
Let's not miss it now. So here, Paul, read verse 4, just to give a little more context. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in,
who came in privily
to spy out our liberty. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to pervert the right ways of God. They're trying to inject some false teaching into the pure teaching of Jesus Christ. With a hope that they will what? Bring us into
bondage.
You know, that's what perverting the gospel results in. You know, bringing us into bondage. And then Paul says, no, picking up in verse 5.
To whom we gave place by subjection.
Stop. To whom we gave place by subjection. And if we stop, full stop there, so we get the wrong message. But that is how some of us behave. When we go on the mission for Christ and people withstand us, we simply just succumb. Say, okay, your view and my view. So Paul says, when these persons come in privately, in disguise, and want to take away our freedom and put us now back into bondage, it says, we gave place by subjection.
No.
No.
Not for an hour.
Not for an hour. So when we go there, we come across false teaching, and persons would want to say, this is it. We should not leave ever giving them the idea that they are okay. And I say, you know, let's all embrace. Well, Corona time, we can't embrace. But you know, let us all elbow, and, you know, we are all good. No. Not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel
might continue with you.
You know what that is saying? If we pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we pervert the right ways of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel will not continue with us. God won't be with us anymore, even as Christians. So we need to recognize, as we evangelize, that it is a serious thing that we have embarked on, because the way we go about it might very well impact negatively how the gospel continue with us. Have you ever wondered why we have so many denominations? It's the little things that we allow to seep in, and it caused the gospel to fizzle away. And let me fix that up. God, the gospel don't really fizzle away, because it's really not the gospel anymore. It's another. Yeah, Paul dealt with that even earlier. We touched on it. So what we see here, brethren, is that it is important that we recognize that there are consequences to embrace, to see as okay the perverted ways of the Lord. For us to see as okay the perverted gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not okay for us to just see the false teaching and just treat it as normal. You know, there's another consequence as I close. That when we pervert the right ways of God, whether it is that we do it as a teacher, because we condone it, are the persons who outrightly go against it, that there are consequences. And one of the profound ones, you know, is seen in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, where the consequence of us perverting the right ways of the Lord, remember, you know, God already highlights that when we pervert the gospel, he views us as very deceitful persons. He sees us as very mischievous and very tricky people. He sees us as a devil's child. He sees us as his enemy because God epitomizes, represents righteousness. And he says, you are an enemy of all things righteous. But beyond that, we see, as we do in Thessalonians, there 2, verse 10, read.
And with all deceivableness.
And with all deceivableness, deceivableness of unrighteousness.
In them that perish.
Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What are we talking about? When we come across persons and we are teaching them and they don't want to receive the love of the truth, they are resisting it, they are perverting the truth, then there's going to be consequence. Pick up at verse 11. Because they have not received the love of the truth, for this cause
God shall send them
strong delusion.
That they should believe a lie.
That they should believe a lie. That's when God starts to actively work against us. But why were they in that state where God would give them such a strong delusion that what they believe is a very lie? Because they do not want to receive the love of the truth. Because they would seek to pervert the right ways of the Lord. They would seek to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say to us that there are consequences to perverting the right ways of the Lord. So because there are negative consequences like that, we should never, ever condone perversion of the gospel. Time won't allow us to explore some of the ways that we see in such a common way that persons pervert the gospel. Because it's almost like we pervert it in all different types of ways. You know, sometimes when we think about the perversion, we just think about the witchcraft and the Obia working and so forth. But sometimes people give us a false view of deity. Sometimes we see religious claims and acts, such as, you know, I'm a miracle worker. There's deceit and there's trickery in worship. Time won't allow us to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 where, you know, inspiration tells us that instead of worshiping the creator, they serve the created. You know, and that's usually us in ourselves. A lot of times we worship self, what I want. And for that reason, you know, even things like instrumental playing of instruments in worship comes into play. Because instead of focusing on God, we focus on self. So I love the guitar and I love the piano. But what is it that God has asked for? Who am I pleasing? Is it self or is it God? You know, over and over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it talks about as we sing unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Not unto self. But persons will trick us and deceive us and pervert the right ways of the Lord to tell us that we need to have a good, feel good, dancing type of moment as we worship the Almighty God. Yes, feel good, yes, but let it be directed to Almighty God. It's not so much about how I want to feel. If God in his wisdom, he hasn't, but if God in his wisdom said that we should never sing when we worship him, then we should never sing. But he has said, sing. But he didn't say sing and play. You know, I'm going to end the lesson right here. But let me appeal to our brethren, that even our brethren and friends, that even our acceptance of the plan of salvation is something that many have employed a lot of trickery and deceit. You know, the Bible has clearly told us that we should not add or take away. And persons today will over and over again tell us, yes, man, in order to be saved, just believe. When Jesus Christ has told us that hearing and believing is not sufficient, then other persons will say, well, yeah, that's true. Hear, believe, repent, because you have to make a change. And tell you that is enough. And you talk to them a bit further, and they said, no, but, you know, you're right, there's more. You know, we must confess that Jesus is Lord. And once you have done that, you are good. You know, so they want to subtract some things. They want to subtract baptism. But it is important for us to recognize that baptism saves. Baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism doth also now save us. As clear and plain as that. You can reason out what you want to reason. You know, you can be a sorcerer of minds. Try to play whatever trick you want. But the scripture says, baptism doth also now save us. Pervert that. But it will still remain. But when you pervert that, bear in mind that God views you a particular way. Brethren, I encourage you again, as I did when I started, as we embark on 2021, let us put in our forefront the fact that we need to evangelize, joining that mission with Jesus Christ. But as we do so, let us recognize that we will meet challenges. But for every challenge that is out there, there are persons who desire to find the word of God. Will you join in the mission of Christ? Make a resolution as we embark on 2021. You know, as we close these last days, let us never relinquish that responsibility. Let us not condone the perversion of the right ways of Jesus Christ. What is the song of invitation, brother? 226. 226. Let us stand as the brother comes with that song of invitation.
There is much to do, there is work on every hand. Ah, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus called for reapers, I must active be. What wilt thou, O Master, here am I, send me. Oh, send me. Yeah. at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There's the plaintive cry of mourning soul distress, and the sigh